This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Say break up. Say break out. Say break through. We need to break up the fallow ground. What is the fallow ground? Let me identify it. It's the soil of your heart. It's the heart. It's like in the husbandry analogy that it's presented to us in, it's like an unto a place where there's been harvest, where there's been plantings, and where there's been great fruitfulness. But in every season, there is a time of fallowness to where, because you've had success, not just failure, there is a hardness of the soil, and it needs to be cultivated again. It needs to be prepared. It needs to be ready to receive the seed and the watering of the water of the Word. The washing of the water of the Word. And the Holy Spirit is likened unto water. And worship is likened unto, praise is likened unto water. And rain is likened unto the blessing of God, the watering of God. The Word of God comes as rain. The power of God comes as rain. The Spirit of God comes as rain. How many believe it's time for rain to come on your heart? How many believe it's time for power to come to your heart? Oh, don't matter what's on me. Don't matter what's coming at me. If I've got power in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. So what I got to do is I got to cultivate what's already in me. Everybody say, he's in me. And as he is in this world, so are we in this world. As he was in this world, so are we in this world. So I just need to cultivate what he's already given me. If you're born again, he's in you. Say, he's in me. If you're born again, you're already righteous. Say, he's righteous. So I'm righteous. All I got to do is turn up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Yeah, there could be things that have discouraged you and hurt you and caused you pain. Huh? But we got to churn up that ground, because there's a harvest that's coming. You know why it's coming? Because the Word's going to be planted inside of us. When we get the ground all soft and ready, the seed can go in there. And it doesn't matter how long that seed is sitting in there, how long that seed's been sitting there. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. It cannot be dead. It cannot be killed. It's always alive. It can sit dormant for centuries. But hear me, when it gets into unfallow ground, when it gets into good soil, somebody say good soil, it will bring a harvest, hallelujah, every single time. The promise is sure. The Word is alive. The Word is never dead. All we got to do is get it in your hearts. Not sitting on the top where it can't be germinated. So how do I do that? How do I get through this fallowness? How many of you want the promises of God? Okay, then listen to me. Some things you need to break up in order to get a breakthrough. Reap in mercy, sow in righteousness to yourselves. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. The fallow ground can be hardness of heart. It can be an unattended heart. Already got harvest, so I don't need another one. Oh, that's your big mistake. How many of you like to eat once a day? How many like to eat twice a day? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good as well. You can eat him in the morning. You can eat him at night. You can eat him in the evening. And good news. You never get full. There's always more. And he makes you want more. And it's the only thing you can eat plenty of and never get sick and never get full of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you could have a great capacity to be blessed? You know why I want to have a great capacity to be blessed? Because I want to have a great capacity to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say there's more. Sometimes we need to dig up the bad attitude. Sometimes we need to deal with negative opinions and get rid of them. Sometimes we need to deal with negative thinking and get rid of it. Sometimes we need to deal with negative speaking and get rid of it. Somebody say amen. I got to deal with the hopelessness. I'm not hopeless. I am hopeful. Hallelujah. Hope springs eternal from me in my heart. He is my hope. Faith is the substance of things hope for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So I got to get rid of the hopelessness, the purposelessness. No purpose. If you have no purpose, you have no hope. Why? Because you bought a lie that says God can't use you anymore. Cynicism, hurt, rejection, all of it needs to go. How do I renew the fallow ground of the heart and the soul? The soul is the mind, it's the will, it's your emotions. Hear me, your mind, your natural thinking, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings, you don't go by your feelings. Somebody say amen. Here's the way I deal with feelings. If they're good and they're godly, I enjoy them. Otherwise, I tell them to shut up and I don't listen to them. I don't let them affect me. You better hear me today. I woke up this morning, and if I don't want by what my natural mind thought and what my feelings thought, I wouldn't even come here today. But I have good news. I am not my soul. I am a spirit, and I tell my soul what to do. It's time to churn up the fallow ground of your soul and tell your soul what to do, because your soul is your servant and it will obey you. Otherwise, you will obey it. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. This body is full of appetites, full of needs, but it'll do whatever your spirit tells it to. You just got to get the message to your soul. Soul, say soul. Shut up. Feelings. Feelings. Shut up. My thoughts, enemy's thoughts, anybody else's thoughts that are not of God, that are not of the Word, I don't receive you. Shut up, mind. I have the mind of Christ. I said, I have the mind of Christ. I have the Word of the living God inside of me. It renews me. It strengthens me. It changes me. It's a mood-altering substance, His Word is. His Word's alive, sharper, than powerful, than any two-edged sword, able to discern the difference between soul and spirit. My spirit's born again. My soul is not. But I got news. My born-again spirit is what tells my soul what to do. Jesus sits on the throne of my spirit. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you. I'm tired. I'm done with my soul ruling over Jesus. That's not right. Jesus will never be ruled by my feelings again. What do you mean ruled by? There he could do no mighty works. Jesus can't do some things. Because your feelings, you believe them. Your natural thoughts, I'm worthless, I'm condemned, I'm a bad person, I don't have my own, I don't have my act together, my righteousness is a filthy rag. Of course it is, but you're not coming in your righteousness. You're not coming with your thoughts. You're coming with Jesus' thoughts. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. And I got this real. His righteousness is pure and holy. I'm not approaching heaven with my righteousness. I'm approaching it with His. Say it. I am the righteousness of God. Say it like you mean it. In Christ Jesus. I'm not coming in me. I'm coming in Him. Hallelujah. When I'm standing before the throne of heaven, I'm not standing with me there. I'm standing. Come here. Come here. He says, I knew I shouldn't have sat here. Here's little old me. Here's big Jesus. Now I'm up here. I got porno here. I got unforgiveness here. I got condemnation here. But I got news for you. When I'm born again every morning, no matter what I've done, His grace is sufficient for me. He forgives me and washes me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And now I don't come before the throne in my righteousness. I come in Christ's righteousness. And when He looks at me, He sees Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I need help. And Jesus says, I already paid for it.
Say it. I already paid for it.
Thank you. You may be seated, Jesus. Jesus is kind of bashful. It ought to be just that funny when the devil comes to you and say, you know what? You don't deserve. You know what? You're not worthy. You know what? You ain't worthy, and you don't deserve it. It was never about what you deserve. It's about what Jesus paid for. He made you a brother, a sister. You're a son of the living God. You're a son of the Father. You're a daughter of the Father. Get down off this chair. You need to tell the devil, get down off the throne of my spirit. You're not in charge. Jesus is in charge. My Father's in charge, and I'm ruling over you. Give the Lord a victory clap this morning. Hallelujah! I'm not soul ruled. I'm Holy Ghost ruled. Yeah. Say, taste and see. How do I break up the fallow ground of all these things of the heart and the soul? Say, with my mouth. Put it up there. With my mind. And with my will. My mouth. My mouth. My mouth. My mouth. My mouth has the power to open up the windows of heaven. No, I want to rephrase that. Windows of heaven are open. There's an open heaven over me. I've got the power to open up my heart and let the windows pour in. I have the power to tell my soul, shut up. Shut up. You know why I've got that authority? Because Jesus died, so I don't ever have to listen to my feelings ever again. I don't have to listen to my body. My body says you're sick. My word says I'm healed. The doctor says I'm sick. Jesus said, I already healed you. Are you listening to me? Say, I am as Jesus is. As he was in the earth, so am I. He was healed. He never got sick. He had plenty. He was never depressed. He was a human being. He had access to my Father. No more, no less than me. As he is, so am I in the earth. Lift your hands and thank him right now. Lift your hands. As he was in the earth, so are you. So are you. Same access, same Father, same provision, same healing, same deliverance. I just got to tell my soul what to believe. Say, I believe. Help thou. Say it. I believe. Lord, help thou my unbelief. I ain't going to lie to you. Sometimes my mouth says, I believe. And my feelings say, no, you don't. My mouth says, I believe. And my mind says, no, you don't. You lying sucker. You don't believe it. You know you don't believe it. Hey, you know what? I do believe. I may have some doubt. I may be tempted to be unbelieving. But I do believe. Jesus, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Jesus didn't turn him down. He says, I will. Come here. Be thou clean. He says, Lord, if you will, you can heal my son. He says, canst thou believe? He says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He says, where's the boy? He healed the baby. Whatever state of faith you've got, Jesus will never turn you down. Amen. Say it, I believe. Help thou my unbelief, oh God. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, and he healed them all. Everybody Jesus prayed for got healed. He never turned anybody away. You know why? Because it don't matter what the devil told you. It don't matter what your brain told you. It don't matter what your feelings told you. It only matter what Jesus tells you. And he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many of you got some kind of faith? Let me see here. How many of you are born again? Then you've got faith. Huh? Well, my faith's not good enough. No, it ain't your faith anyway. It's God's faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You know who our was? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you. You say, I don't believe that. I believe it's my faith. It's not God's faith. No, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11, in Matthew 10, he says, have the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of God. And God gave me a measure of his faith. Now it's my faith. But my origin of my faith is Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So don't you go around telling me your faith ain't good enough. Because you're telling Jesus his faith's not good enough. How many believe you have the God kind of faith? You do, or you're not born again. And I know you're born again. And the same faith that saved you will heal you. Same faith that heals you will deliver you. Somebody say amen. Same faith that healed you and delivered you will bring your finance better than they've ever been before. It'll bring you a new job. It'll bring you a right husband. Oh, somebody ought to say amen right there. I don't mean you married women get another husband. I mean he'll change the one you got. I don't mean change him like trade him out. I mean change him. If I was changing him, the Lord will say, were you going to get work done? I see you. Your tire's a little low too. You want your husband to change? Pray God change you. Because you can, until you can put up with that fat slug and treat him like he's a glorious thin king. You know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Well, he's preaching good till he got off on that. You know, the way to a man's heart is tell him he's worth something, even when he's not worth a flip nickel at the moment. Hello? Hello? Better take that off. Don't send me any cards and letters. You know what? All those preachers don't send me any cards and letters. I wish anybody sent me a card and letter. These guys get millions of cards and letters. I don't get any. Come on, send them in, baby. Send them in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Say, my mouth. My mouth needs to change. How do I change my hard heart? Hard means worn out, hurt, rejected, not just sinful. How do I get over my complacent? I learned how to do this. I've got a great harvest, and I let my guard down, and now I'm sinning like a sinner. Hardness means several things. If you got it, raise your hand. How many understood what I just said? Some of your greatest problems can come after your greatest victories because we get complacent. So either side of that coin, how do I change that ground? Say, my mouth. Hosea 10:11. Ephraim is a trained heifer. Glory to God. Ephraim is a male, ladies. Bible's not calling you a heifer. And nobody else better either. Ephraim is a trained heifer. That's not, I shouldn't have went there. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. Loves to thresh. Hey, other people say it and it's fine. Don't send me no cards and letters, okay? Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. I wish I could get off that part. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. But I will come over her fair neck. Oh, it is a her. I didn't know that. Her fair neck with a yoke. I will harness Ephraim. Now hear me. Seriously. Judah will plow. Jacob will harrow for himself. But Judah will plow. Judah in the Bible was named after praise. Judah is translated praise. Judah is the tribe that is translated the praisers. Judah went out when there was a battle and they began to praise because praise is a weapon in the hands of our God. Are you listening to me? And you need to understand, Judah in this case, it's not just a weapon, it's a plow. And you plow the fallow ground of your heart when you praise him. Would you praise the name of your Lord? Father, I believe you. No matter how condemned I feel, no matter how worthless I feel, no matter how unable I feel, I think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you that though the devil meant it for evil, the Lord, you're going to work it together for good. You know, every one of those words are a praise to God. And you can say it, or you can think it, or you can sing it, but you need to say it. Somebody say amen. You need to sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your time of prayer, in your time of private devotion, sing to the Lord a new song. And when you sing to the Lord a new song, you watch, it'll always come out in praise. You know what you'll be praising him for? Who you are in him. What he's already done for you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So shut up, devil. Shut up, soul. Shut up, feelings. I am more than a conqueror because he loves me. Even if I don't love me, and you sure don't love me, but my God loves me with an everlasting love. And I come boldly before the throne of grace. And I come in confidence. I'm not going to let you have my confidence. I'm going to say what Jesus said about me. Hallelujah. I am more than a conqueror. Everybody say praise. Praise. Praise plows the fallow heart, the fallow soil of your heart. Judah plows. What do you do when your past and your present conduct mutes your worship? Silences your worship. I'll tell you what you do. You get hardened. You get hopeless. You get to the point where you feel like you're helpless. God never intended for that to happen. He says, you need to praise me no matter what shape you are in. You need to praise me because if you don't, the rocks will cry out. I can't wait to get to heaven. I don't know what the new are. Let's talk about Daniel. We were talking about Genesis, and we were talking about things. You know what? We don't know. I'm off the track here, but just give me a minute. The rocks before the fall, they may have all been praising God. The trees, the Bible speaks about them worshiping and praising God. They may have all been praising God. But you know what? The difference is the rocks, the trees, and the angels, they aren't the redeemed. We can sing a song of praise because we're the redeemed. We're created just a little bit lower than God, and we're created to be higher than all the other creation. You know why? Because Jesus gave his life for us. We're not just part of God's creation. We're his children. So when you go before God, don't you come as some adopted, well, you are adopted. Don't you come as somebody who feels like they don't belong. Are you listening? If you're adopted, he chose you. Are you listening? Okay, hear me. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. In Mark 5, we see an example of this. Let me read it really quickly. It's the story of the demon-possessed man in the Gadarenes. Verse 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. He was amongst the dead. Everything was dead. His heart was dead. His emotions were dead. His hope was dead. His purpose was dead. Are you listening? There was nothing in him that could be, in the natural sense, redeemable, okay? Who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. In other words, no one could control him. In other words, he had no life. He was never going to be free because he was constantly bound. Are you listening? Say amen. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. In the mountains, say in the mountains, and in the tombs. Some of you are high one day and low the next day. You're alive one day and dead the next day. I got news for you. That ain't no kind of life. That's not the life that God has created for you. And you need to do what this man's getting ready to do and receive. When he, hear this, in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but cutting himself with stones, the word stones is like it unto a tablet. And the word tablet, the word stone is translated tablet and law. He was cutting himself with the law. Do you know the Ten Commandments were never meant to heal you? You cannot live perfect enough to keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, I believe I can. Well, you don't even know them. If I were to ask you to stand right now, probably half of you couldn't even name five of them. Well, I believe I can. You know what? Listen, the law was never going to tell you you could do it. The law was sent so you could find out you can't do it by yourself. The law was never meant to heal you. The law was meant to point to one who can heal you. Are you listening to me? He was cutting himself. Why do you bring it up? Because some of you are cutting yourself. You are destroying yourself. You are beating yourself because you are full of condemnation. I can't do it right. I can't live it right. I can't do it perfect enough. I got good news for you. Jesus knew it when he made you, that you were going to need his help. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live perfect by yourself. You can live whole. You can live holy. But when you fall, his grace is sufficient for you, and you aren't going to live a life of sin, because you're going to be grateful that you're not bearing the fruit of sin anymore. I hope you got that. You know why I don't sin? Because I don't like the results of it. But it doesn't mean when I sin that I'm any less saved than before I sinned. It doesn't mean he loves me any less. Somebody say amen. And it doesn't mean you can't go and ask him for healing just because you messed up. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? Well, were you going to earn it? When are you going to be good enough to earn a healing that came from a spotless, sinless Christ? Never. 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 You know why I'm beginning to love him and enough to serve him? It's because of what he's already done for me. And I love him because I'm finally learning sin never never, ever brings a harvest of life. It always brings death of some sort. And so I don't want it. I don't want it. And you know what? I thank God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And you know what? He enables me not to walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit of life. Because I've had imparted to me the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. And I'm no longer a slave to the law of sin and death. You know what that really means? You can get to the place where you don't want to sin. Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, I ain't arrived there yet. Are you listening? You can arrive there because though you may be tempted, now listen, being tempted doesn't mean that you do it. Because you can arrive there because you know what? I bet you no one in this building in the last month has killed anybody. Don't raise your hand, we'll put you in jail. We're not Jesus. But you know why you didn't kill anybody? Oh, no. There's a lot of people who have reasons. A reason good enough. You know why you didn't kill him? Because you don't want to more than you do want to. Part of me wants to sin, but there's a bigger part of me that says, no. I'm not giving up this for that. You know what that means? You better put a lot of emphasis on this. And enjoy the blessings of this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's why 2 seconds after you fail and sin like a demon, you know what? Your Holy Ghost rises up and you say, oh, I'm miserable. I don't want to do this no more. Oh, how come I did that? But you know what? You got to crawl right back into the presence of the Lord. In fact, you don't crawl. You stand up and tell the devil, you know what? Shame on you. But hey, you know what? No shame on me because I'm covered with my Savior's blood. Oh, that's not fair. It was never fair. It's what your daddy died to give you. Well, the father didn't die. You can't tell the father that it wasn't like him dying when he gave his son. Are you still with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was alone. He was isolated. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to them, come out of the man, unclean spirits. What are you saying? What has this got to do with my mouth? What has this got to do with worship? Because though that man was demonically tormented by a legion of demons, thousands of demons, there was still part of him inside. He didn't know who Jesus was. Are you listening to me? But he saw him coming afar off. And he didn't know that he was the Savior. He certainly didn't know that he loved. He didn't know. But there's something inside of him that says, I have no hope and no purpose, but I see it coming. I don't know who he is, but I want what he's got. And he ran and he worshiped him. I'm telling you, no matter where you are, no matter how hard you got, no matter how devastated you are, there's a part of you that says, I'm worthless and I'll never have any hope. But there's an inside of you that, like the beggar says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it's the faith of God inside every human being is a desire to know Jesus. And it recognizes that when they see him, they see hope. You know what he did? He worshiped him. Full of demonic powers, controlled by demons, and yet he worshiped him. Well, how do you know it wasn't the demons? Because the demons hadn't taken over yet. I got news for you. Last time I checked, demons don't submit to God. They don't worship God because they aren't redeemed, and they never will be redeemed. Now, they can acknowledge him as God, but they don't worship him. Are you listening to me? Even Satan, when he was called before heaven, he acknowledged who God was, but he didn't worship him. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about after the fall. The truth of the matter is that no matter how evil you are, no matter how messed up you get, you can always worship Jesus. When your heart is hardened, When you feel like you've done it and you can't change it and nobody loves you, even God don't care about you. I got news for you. All you got to do, and the devil's not going to like it. He's going to jump up and down. He's going to tell you you're a fool. He's going to tell you God don't love you. You just raise your hands towards heaven and, more importantly, open up your mouth and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I praise you. You love me when I'm worthless. You love me when I don't love myself. Oh, somebody help me here today. Can anybody raise your hand and thank God that no matter what state you find yourself in, you can offer praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Judah plows and worships and offers praise, Joe. And God comes and sets him free. Come through the keys, please. Oh, my gosh. Oh, we don't start till 11:30. Okay. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thank you, sis. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to get any further than this, but when she starts to play, I'll be free to go into the next phase of anointing. Oh, there it is. To me, I'm here to tell you today that this message is personally for you. For you, for you, for you and you and all of you. Hallelujah. 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 Give me a little more music, sis. Louder. In chapter 3 of Mark, the Lord called the 12 disciples. Imperfect men, every one of them. And they said, oh, it's like the disciples after Jesus had died and rose again. He said, on the road to Emmaus, they said, oh, didn't your heart burn within you when he started calling us, telling us, come, follow after me. And then he started healing the sick. In chapter 3, called the 12, and he started healing the sick. And the Bible says the multitudes were there. And they got a taste of what it was like to be a disciple of the Lord. You remember that? You remember that? When you first got saved? Oh, this is awesome, man. And in 6 weeks, we'll have the whole city saved. And all my family's coming to Jesus, and I'm going to be a millionaire in 4 months. It's just awesome. And they were ready to go. And the Lord says, follow me. Oh, yeah, we're ready. And so we go to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he says, there's a lot of people here. He says, so we're going to get out in the boats. And he says, prepare a boat. He says, because when I'm through here, we're going to go across the water. And we're going to the other side. And they said, oh, yeah, we're ready, Lord. He says, we must be going to somewhere where there's even more people. Where there's just multiplied thousands. And what happened? They got on the boat. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. You know, if Jesus tells you you're going to the other side, get ready. You're going to make it to the other side. But instead of all that glory and woo and healing and rise and be healed and all that, you know what? Demons hit them. And the storms and the waves begin to rise. And Jesus was in the boat with them, and he went to sleep, and they thought he'd abandoned them. I have news for you. They're just like you and me. Jesus is in the middle of their lives, and he's asleep, and he's at peace, and we think he's abandoned us. And their faith went out the window. But what did Jesus do? He says, peace, be still. At the storm, quiet. They said, oh, who is this man that even the winds and the seas obey him? And so they got to the other side. They said, oh man, this is really good. Now he healed the sick by the hundreds, and now he's told the winds and the seas to shut up, and they did. We must be getting ready to go have camp meeting. And they got there, and there was this one little man out there. They said, I don't see the crowds yet. I'm sure they're coming. He said, wait a minute, I don't see one guy. And it was that demonic of the Gadarenes. Have you ever seen somebody that's fully blown possessed and they're manifesting? I hope you never have to, but you don't have to be afraid. But the truth is that he scared the living hahandai out of those guys. And they said, hey, Jesus, this guy's nuts. Let's get out of here. He said, no. He said, no. He says, he sees me. He's not coming after you. He's coming after me. And you know the rest of the story. He bowed and he worshiped him. Why is he telling me this? Because somehow in the midst of everything we see as Christians, we take part in the kingdom. We think that God's in the middle of the big crowds and God can tell the winds and the seas to cease and be peace and be still and they obey him. But Jesus left the crowds and he went through hell on the water to get to one man who was hurting. And he's looking for you. He wants to heal you. Because you know what? That demoniac changed the city. And maybe there were lots of people who got healed back in chapter 3 and chapter 4. But this man changed the whole city that he was surrounding. Because when he got delivered, he says, I want to go with you. He says, no, you stay here and you go tell everybody that you've ever met and everybody in your town who I am and what I did. And he did. And it changed everything. And the woman at the well, she was one woman who Jesus wasn't even supposed to be around, much less talking to. And he went for that one person. Are you hearing me today? And she got saved and he overlooked everything that ever she did. And he gloriously gave her water that she'll never thirst again. And she went and told all the people who had abused her who this Jesus was. She forgave them and they came and God saved the whole city. Because sitting here this morning, as unimportant as you feel, you can save the city. And the Lord's here to touch you. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that there is breakthrough. Lord, I didn't get to finish the sermon, the message. But Lord, there's breakthrough. There's breakthrough here for us. There's breakthrough here for us. But first, Lord, we've got to break up the fallowness. Lord, we've got to believe who we are in you. And Lord, we've got to believe who you created us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we've got to break off with depression. We've got to break up, Lord, with anger. We've got to break up, Lord, with defeat. We've got to break up with anything that is contrary to what you planned for us. Father, we come to you and we worship you with our mouth. Lord, we didn't even get to our minds, Lord, but we thank you that you can renew our minds. Lord, we can thank you that we can think your thoughts. Lord, I can think your thoughts. Lord, I can think about your ways. Your ways are different than the world's ways. Father, I'm depending on you. And I couldn't be in a better place than when I'm depending on you. I praise you this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. And I want you to come just as you are, as you raise your hand, and I want to pray with you right where you sit. If you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you're in that position and say, Jesus, have mercy on me, he's ready. 1, 2, 3. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you right where you're at. There are several hands that are going up. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, this is the day that everything changes. Everybody can know Jesus. Lord, you can change me, and I'll never be the same again. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you came just for me today. Lord, you came just for me today. And Lord Jesus, I'm gonna do things that no one thought I could do because you're with me, Lord. You ready? Pray this prayer with me right now, everybody in the building. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to get me. You sent your love. You sent your healing. You sent your delivering power through Jesus. And I receive you now as my forgiver, the cleanser of my life and soul, and my body. I receive you as Savior. I follow you as Lord. Holy Spirit, be my teacher. Show me your ways. Show me your will. Give me your word. Enlighten your word to my heart. I want to learn. I'm ready. I'm yours. I'm free by faith. Your faith in me. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. And I'm going to give you my life and let you heal me. Now raise your hands and thank him in your own way. Thank him in your own way. Oh, I thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.